Talking about the draft a lot today, and you're welcome to join us. Our Twitter poll deals with the draft and mock drafts and some of the players who have been mocked to the Buffalo Bills. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, the senior draft analyst for NFL Draft Scout and CBS Sports, and you can find him on NFLDraftScout.com. Happy to have Dane Brugler on the line with us. Dane, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thank you very much for being with us here today. We appreciate it.
No, thank you. Good afternoon, guys.
This is crunch time for you and I guess every other draft guru around the country, right? 3 weeks to go.
Yeah, well, you know, the draft for me is a year-round thing, but yeah, you're right. This is we're 3 weeks away. You know, all the work has been done in terms of evaluating these players. Having the scouting reports done. Now it's just a matter of connecting the dots, trying to figure out, okay, these teams are looking at these players. You know, what are the top 30 visits? What needs did these teams address in free agency, and then how will that affect the draft? So. Right now, it's about connecting those dots and trying to figure out where these players are going to end up.
You know, Donald had a good point. We talked about it in the first hour of our show, Dane, about guys like you, professionals at it, who do these mock drafts. When you change over the course of a couple weeks, even in these last 3 weeks, what changes? As you said, the evaluation work has already been done. What would make you change maybe your projection for who's going where?
Well, my projections, my rankings do not change, but the mock drafts are, that's different because that's what we're trying to, we're using educated guesses to try to project where these players are going to end up. And that's really all about based on what I hear. You know, I'm talking to my scout buddies. I'm talking to different people around the league, some players themselves about, you know, where they're working out, who likes who. And, you know, that's all based off of, what I hear. And so that's going to change from week to week. Mock drafts are, strictly about what I hear. My evaluations, those rankings, those will not change. An example is Obi Melanfon, who's a talented safety from UConn, who, to me, I have a third-round grade on him. And then that's not going to change. But I know several teams picking in that late first round are very interested. Teams as high as Tampa Bay picking number 19 will be looking at him. So that's what really will determine, the mock draft. Even you look at Marshawn Lynch possibly coming back with the Raiders. Right now I have Dalvin Cook, the talented running back from Florida State, projected to Oakland at number 24. If Marshawn Lynch comes back out of retirement, well, then that changes that pick. So definitely a lot of fluctuation with these mock drafts the next few weeks.
You know, before we get into Bills talk, Dane, I want to talk to you a little bit about the first overall pick. And everybody has Myles Garrett as being a lock to be the first overall pick to the Cleveland Browns. Is there any chance of a surprise when we get to draft night?
It would truly be a surprise. It's hard to see it. Everyone I've talked to in the league agrees that he's the best player in this draft. And when you have the number one overall pick, the goal is to get a difference maker. And in this draft, it's a very deep draft. I love just the talent you can find from the first through the fourth round. You can find NFL starters in each one of those first four rounds. But in terms of true difference makers, this draft doesn't have a lot of those guys. And I would argue there's two. There's Myles Garrett and Malik Hooker, the safety from Ohio State. After that, I think there's some very, very good players. But in terms of true difference makers, it's a very short list. And I think Myles Garrett is at the top. Cleveland, we know with their front office, very analytical-based thinking. Could they potentially go in a different direction? It's always possible. It's the draft. You can't rule anything out. But it would be a huge shock if the Browns announced any other name except Myles Garrett at the number one pick.
On the line with draft analyst Dane Brugler, senior draft analyst for NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports. You also, Dane, have your draft guide, which is up, downloadable. Actually, I purchased it last year. It was a great guide, and it's pretty affordable, right? I mean, it's $10 to get the download of your draft guide.
Yeah, I promise you, this is something that if you're interested in the draft, I go 450 prospects deep in terms of full scouting reports. We all know about the first and second round guys, but I think where my guide really flexes its muscles in the late rounds when, I've got players from, schools you've never heard of, reports on them. So when your team drafts this player, you have a good idea of, who that player is, what he's going to bring to your ball team. So it's a very affordable guide that, I kind of wrap up the last 10 months of my life into this PDF document. So I appreciate all the feedback everyone's been giving me. And if anyone's interested, just check out my Twitter, @DPBrugler. The link is at the top. It's an automatic PDF download.
Yeah. In fact, I just checked my my homepage, on my laptop here. I've got last year's draft guide. I got to update. I got to buy the new one for $10 and put it up here. Because you're right. When you get to Friday and Saturday of the draft, not everybody knows some of these prospects. You go really deep into the draft. It's a really good guide.
No, I appreciate that. It's something that I take a lot of pride in. Grinding tape on guys from Albany State, and the schools I never even heard of. I hear scouts tell me, "Hey, you need to check out this guy." It's something that I hope a lot of draft fans find very valuable on draft weekend.
Dane, I know we're in the season of pro days still, and a lot of these prospects are taking tours. The scouts are all over the country. Do you actually fly to all of these different pro days as well?
I don't fly to a lot of the pro days. I will attend several of them. I'm located here in North Texas, just north of Dallas, and so I'll go to all the local pro days. I was at Oklahoma to see Joe Mixon, see how he would do. I stay in touch with a lot of my scout buddies who are on the road. They give me some heads up about how a player's looking. And really, I was at the combine, and to me, the combine's the most important step of this process. Where the pro days come in is if a player wasn't able to work out due to injury at the combine, or if a player wasn't invited, like a Joe Mixon, that's where pro days are really important. Other than that, I think that pro days, you're expected to be a lot better at the pro day than the combine. That's what scouts go into these pro days expecting that. You get to sleep in your own bed the night before. You're on your own turf, and if you're a wide receiver, you're catching passes from your own quarterback. Or if you're a quarterback, you're throwing to your own receivers. So pro days are something that I think are valuable. There's something to gain from them. From time to time, can be a little overrated in terms of how we evaluate these players.
With Dane Brugler, he is senior draft analyst for NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports. All right, Dane, let's get to your mock, and you have mocked Corey Davis, the wide receiver from Western Michigan, to the Buffalo Bills. Tell me about that and why you have him ranked ahead of Mike Williams from Clemson. You've got Mike Williams going to the Baltimore Ravens at 16.
Yeah, and I actually have Mike Williams rated a hair ahead of Corey Davis in my own personal ranking.
Okay.
But talking to NFL teams, and I just get the vibe that Corey Davis is viewed as maybe just the better receiver by some, just a more well-rounded. And that's not a consensus. You talk to different people from around the league, you get a different answer about who the best quarterback is or wide receiver is in this draft. But with Corey Davis, we were talking about the pro days. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see Corey Davis work out at the combine or the pro day because of his ankle injury. And he still hopes to work out for teams before the draft. But, we're running out of days for that to happen. And so it'll be interesting to see with Corey Davis if he's able to work out prior to the draft. But there's plenty of tape on Corey Davis. No other FBS receiver has more receiving yards in history than Corey Davis with what he did at Western Michigan the past four seasons. Very well-rounded receiver, 6'3", 210 pounds. Speed's not a question. Very good route runner. Has ball skills that you want. He will have the focus drop from here time to time, but it's not a glaring concern. I liken him to a Mike Thomas, who a rookie last year with the Saints, had a very good first year in the NFL. I think Corey Davis can be a similar type of player, if not maybe even a little more athletic than what Michael Thomas is. So Corey Davis, to me, I think he'd make a lot of sense at 10 there for Buffalo, a guy that you can give Sammy Watkins that running mate on the outside, give Tyrod Taylor a little bit of help down the field. And Corey Davis is the type of weapon that can help you at all three levels of the defense. He's not scheme specific. He can line up inside, or outside. There's a lot to like about Davis and what he brings to your NFL team, even as a rookie.
Got a caller on the line who wants to talk about Corey Davis. Ed in Auburn, do you have a question for Dane about Corey Davis, Ed?
Yes, John, I love your show. You're a very good talker in your show. And also, I do agree with the guy saying about Corey Davis from out of Western Michigan. I think he is going to be a very good pick, I think, for the Bills. I think they should go for it. They're the number one pick. And overall, okay. I think he can run around the guys who are trying to tackle him good. He can catch the ball really good with one-handed. I think he'll be outstanding for the Bills. Listen to your
Thank you. Dane, tell me why, though, you said you have Mike Williams ranked on your board. I guess your evaluation is just a little bit higher than Corey Davis?
Yeah, just a hair. And to kind of put that in perspective, I have Mike Williams as my 12th best player and Corey Davis as my 13th best player. Okay. So it really is, you know, kind of stacked on top of each other. But with Mike Williams, what he did against top-tier competition, you know, seeing what he did in the ACC in the national title game against Alabama, you know, this is a player who's done it against elite competition. And to me, that gives me a little bit of an edge over Corey Davis when we talk about these two players, just because I've seen him do it against top-tier competition week in, week out. With Mike Williams, he doesn't have necessarily that elite speed that you want for the position, but he doesn't need it because of how he wins, and that's at the catch point. His catch radius, his vertical ability, he's outstanding on back shoulder throws, 50-50 balls. He'll go up and get them. So he really provides a safety valve for quarterbacks. You just kind of throw it in his zip code, and he finds a way to come down with the ball. So he's a very different type of receiver from Corey Davis. But for me, I give Williams just a little bit of the edge over Davis. But these two are very, very excellent receivers who I think can help out as rookies for their NFL teams.
Dane, the Bills also have a need at corner. So let's just say the Bills take a corner in the first round. Going into the second or third round, who's another receiver that can come in and be an impact player right away?
And if you're not going to take a receiver in the first round, I think one of the reasons maybe that you don't is because you feel really good about the day two receivers in this draft. You know, I think we expect probably three receivers come off the board in the first round, Williams, Davis, and then probably John Ross from Washington. Mm-hmm. And then after that, on day two, rounds two and three, you have several different types of receivers that can help your football team. Chad Hansen from Cal, Ardarius Stewart from Alabama, Chris Godwin from Penn State, different types of receivers that, depending on what kind of style you're looking for, if you're looking for more of a possession guy, well, that's Zay Jones from East Carolina, who's had a terrific pre-draft process, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, his pro day. He has more FBS catches than anyone ever. So, I mean, we know what he can do as a possession threat. As terms of maybe a home run type of receiver, D.D. Westbrook from Oklahoma, he'll take the top off a defense with his speed. We saw Will Fuller from Notre Dame go as high as he did last year in the first round to Houston because of that speed and that vertical ability. That's what D.D. Westbrook can do for you, and I think you can get him in the third round. So I think if you're not going to take a receiver in the first round, I think part of the reason you don't is because you feel really good about your options on day two.
Dane Brugler, our guest, senior draft analyst for NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports. Hey, Dane, you got three quarterbacks in your mock going in the first round, including the Jets with Trubisky at number six overall. That would be, what, the third consecutive year in, what, 4 out of 5 years the Jets have gone with a quarterback fairly early in the draft?
Yeah, and see, that's the struggle with New York. I mean, since Mike Maccagnan took over as general manager, you're right. They have drafted a quarterback in the top four rounds. 2 years ago was Bryce Petty. Last year, it was Christian Hackenberg in the second. But I think this is a franchise that's still looking for that future at the position. And if you really like one of these players, one of these quarterbacks, can you really afford to pass when it's one of your top needs? And just because you drafted players in the past in you know, top four rounds, to me, that's not a good enough excuse to pass on a player. And so for Mike Maccagnan, for Coach Bowles, they need to show some type of long-term plan. And I think if you are a believer in Mitchell Trubisky, then you take him there at number six, and he could be the guy that you're kind of banking on, maybe give Jets fans a little reason to be optimistic about the future on offense. But it's one option. I mean, the Jets are definitely doing their due diligence on these quarterbacks. They're working them out. They're having them in for visits. So, you know, where there's a little bit of smoke, there could be possible fire. And I think you can't rule out quarterback at number six.
Dane, so you have Trubisky going to the Jets. And the biggest question I have, you have so many people that say, you know, really none of these quarterbacks warrant a top 10 pick or maybe not even in the first round. But we know they're going to end up going. For me, Deshaun Watson has played at, you know, on the biggest stage, played against the best defense in the land and performed very well in both of those games and even beat them, you know? So what makes Mitchell Trubisky better than Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think when you project him to the NFL level, it's a game where we have to win from the pocket. And that's something that I think Mitchell Trubisky has shown that he can do. You know, with Trubisky, it's tough to find that fatal flaw. I think he needs to, get better in a few areas, gain more experience, only a one-year starter. But he doesn't have that fatal flaw. And I think that's why he's viewed as more of a safe pick. You know, if his ceiling is Andy Dalton, well, you can win with a guy like that. I mean, you can win. You can compete for the division and compete for a playoff spot year in, year out with a player like Andy Dalton as your quarterback. Now, with Deshaun Watson, you could argue that he has the higher ceiling. He has the better resume. But when you study him on film, a lot of his plays that he's making are outside of the pocket. He has a tendency to drop his eyes with the first sign of pressure and escape. And that's not something that in the NFL, I mean, you have to be able to sit in the pocket, climb, maneuver around the noise, and consistently make downfield throws. And that's not something that I think we saw enough of from Deshaun Watson on any consistent basis. I mean, 17 interceptions last year. I need to be able to see him win from the pocket in terms of his accuracy downfield, his timing, his decision making. And so can he get better in those areas? I think he can, and that's why I think he'll be in the first round discussion, and he should be in the first round discussion. But there are just some more questions with Deshaun Watson and how he projects to an NFL offense than I think a Trubisky does.
Quarterback that has intrigued a lot of people, especially here, his hometown, Chad Kelly, who's become like kind of a tough luck guy now with his injuries, a little wrist injury at his pro day the other day. What do you think of him, and where do you think he might go?
He's a tough guy to talk about because he has plenty of issues on and off the field. It's something that, you can't talk about Chad Kelly without mentioning, the different off-field incidents that have happened, going back to high school and goes to Clemson. That didn't work out for multiple reasons. There were some issues at the JUCO level, and then he goes to Ole Miss. Trouble has kind of followed him everywhere. And some of that is bad luck. Some of that is poor decision-making on his part. And then, of course, the injuries. Tore his ACL in November. Now he's dealing with a wrist issue. He has the bloodlines that you want. He has a golden arm. He might have the best arm talent of any quarterback in this draft. I think when you're talking about the toughness, physically, mentally, it's there. And so because of those reasons, I think he has a shot to be drafted late. But because of, the worries about who he is as a person, what he's going to bring to your locker room, there's a lot of question marks there. And he's going to be off a lot of draft boards around the league. I think there's a better chance of him going undrafted than drafted.
Wow.
But because of those physical traits, I think he does have a shot to get drafted late.
Dane, I got to get off of the quarterbacks a little bit and go to outside linebacker or defensive end, rush specialist. And I got to go to my school, Youngstown State, and Derek Rivers. So can you tell me a little bit about him? And there are a lot of people saying he can go as high as the second round. What do you feel?
I'd agree with that, yeah. And I'm a Youngstown guy as well. So it's great to see the Penguins represented. They got a few guys, Derek Rivers and Avery Moss, and they got a few corners in this mm-hmm. draft that have a chance to catch on as priority free agents. But with Rivers, you look at the resume, 56.5 tackles for loss, 41 sacks over his career. I think when you talk about what he did at during the pre-draft process and the Senior Bowl at the Combine, he ran a 4.61 40-yard dash, a 1.60 10-yard split. Those are outstanding numbers. The biggest question is just the level of competition he faced at the FCS level. But Youngstown State, they advanced to the FCS title game, so they faced some of the best that level has to offer, and Derek Rivers was consistently productive. He projects as an athletic, one-gap upfield penetrator. He will have some struggles versus the run, and that could ultimately limit maybe his pro ceiling, but he has pass rush skills that are NFL-worthy and that can be starter-worthy at the next level. So I think he's ideally suited for a 3-4 team. That mid to late second round is where I think he has a good chance of hearing his name called.
Do you guys have some Youngstown State fight song you want to sing for
us
now?
We can lock arms and happy feet.
Dane, I got one more guy to ask you about, and it came up the other day on the show. We were talking. Somebody reported that McCaffrey from Stanford was a likely top 10 pick. Do you see that with him? You got him close in your mock at 14, but how good is he, and how are teams going to look at McCaffrey? How will they use him?
Yeah, and opinions are split on McCaffrey. I think everyone agrees he's a very good player, but you just have to have the right vision for how you're going to use him on your offense to justify a top 10 pick, even a top 20 pick on Christian McCaffrey. But I think if he goes to the right situation, like a Philadelphia, I think with Coach Peterson, he understands how to use a talent like that. I think absolutely he's deserving of that. And to me, he is a featured back. You just have to kind of tweak your definition of what a featured back is. Is he going to carry the ball 25 times a game? No. But he can touch the ball 20 to 25 times a game. You know, give him 15 carries, give him 8-9 targets in the passing game. You add him to your offense, he might instantly become your best route runner. He's that good in the slot or even outside. You know, keep him in the backfield, motion him out. He can be a chess piece, a type of versatile threat that defenses, you have to account for him on every single snap. He can stress out a defense pre-snap. So there's a lot to like about McCaffrey and what he can bring to your offense. But you have to have the right offensive coordinator, the right play caller in place that knows how to use a talent like that. And not, he won't be a fit for every team, but I think if he goes the right fit, you know, Philadelphia, I think New England, obviously, they've shown the ability to use a talent like this. But I don't think he's going to be available in the late first round, or the Patriots don't even pick in the late first round now. But if they would trade back into the first round, I don't think he'll be there. I think McCaffrey's a top 20 guy. If he goes the right fit, I think he'll definitely live up to the high billing as being an early round one type of player.
Dan, I got one more question for you, and it's about the tight end class. And I know it's a deep tight end class. We're about to get into some tight end prospects. But can you just break down some tight end prospects outside of O.J. Howard?
Yeah, and outside of O.J. Howard, I think there's one other player you talk about as a potential first-round pick. That's David Njoku from Miami, who is just a physical freak. He has 6'4", 246 pounds. He's a 4'5 athlete, had a 40-inch vertical at his as a pro day. He's only 20 years old, still growing into the player that he will be. But you are very excited about who he can be 2 to 3 years from now. I think those Vernon Davis comparisons make a lot of sense. And then for me, I consider Evan Ingram from Ole Miss a wide receiver. And so for me, my number three tight end on my board is Adam Shaheen from Ashland, Division II player who initially played college basketball, decided to go back to football, and he just dominated the D2 competition at Ashland. And so it's tough when you factor in his tape and he's just dominating these defenses, but these guys aren't going to sniff the NFL. And so how do you project that to the next level? He came out as a redshirt junior, so we didn't get a chance to see him at a Senior Bowl or an all-star game, that type of setting against better competition. Now at the combine, he looked like he belonged. 6'6 and a half, 278 pounds, ran a 4.7 40-yard dash. He's one of those guys you project as a true inline type of tight end where you can flex him out, but he can keep his hand on the ground, be a blocker for you. So I think Adam Shaheen is somewhere in the top 50, top 60 mix out of Ashland. He's in there. And then Jake Butt from Michigan, kind of been a little bit of the forgotten guy in this draft class because of the knee injury that he suffered in the bowl game. I'm hearing his rehab's going well. There's a good chance he could be available for the start of the season next year. I think Jake Butt could be a nice value pick in that late second, early third round range.
My man Donald's going to break down some tight end for us in a second, but you hit all his guys, right? Everybody,
yeah.
Shaheen included.
Hit everybody.
Yeah.
Shaheen, Evan Ingram.
Yeah. Hey, Dane, thanks for this. Tell us again the download of the draft guide, the 2017 NFL draft guide. What can folks do to get their hands on that?
Yeah, best way is just check out my Twitter, at DP Brugler. I have it pinned at the top. It's a link. You just click the link, put in your info. It's an automatic PDF download. You have 200 pages. You know, right on your computer at that point. And so I've never had someone tell me that there was too much information in that guide. I'll put it that way. So I appreciate everyone checking it out.
Yeah, I had it on my laptop for the entire year. Dane, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.